Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and today I have my mom back on the podcast. Welcome, Mom.
Glad to be here, Shannon. Once again, surprise.
Surprise. You just never know when you're going to get a phone call, but you have so much to your story, like Mike, so many different layers and different things that you could share.
That's because I'm old.
It's not because you're old. Oh, you're funny, though. This is a side note, but I know how much you loved me getting into modeling. I'm kidding. People have asked me over the years, what did your mom think about you entering in the fashion industry, in the modeling world? Can you share that story about how God told you what he told you?
Oh, sure. So I hated the modeling scene because they always wanted to take off more. And so I didn't want that for you. I didn't want the temptation to be there, the allurement. So that was my main thing. If it would have been like clean, just normal modeling, that'd be fine. Like department stores, but I thought they're not going to necessarily just keep you there. So that was my main reason for your character. I was in the tanning bed, which normally I didn't go to, but we were going to go on our 25th anniversary and we were going to go to Hawaii. So I wanted a little bit of tan. Vanity kicked in. So I'm in the tanning bed, laying there, relaxing. And the Lord's presence came and visited me. Now, you're going to say, how's this? I'll tell you something. God's presence came in that room and I was trembling. It was that strong. And he had a witness for me. He magnified his presence there. I know that he's with us wherever we go, but that day, in that moment, it was magnified. It was undeniably his holy presence was there, and he had a word for me. He said, give her to me. She's mine. I didn't have to question who he was talking about. Give her to me. It was you.
Summer didn't like modeling.
He knew that I was going to be a stumbling block for you to go into modeling, and he wanted me to be reminded, you're his. And so I told him, and I was crying. I said, Lord, she's yours. I release her. So that's when I came home and I told you that you'd have my support. Just keep it clean.
Do you remember when I came up with the idea of putting a sheet as my backdrop on the dresser downstairs and I would take pictures in front of it? It was definitely a God-given desire because he brought it to life. I just love being in front of the camera. Like, Dad, you don't like the camera. You shy away from it. And I have a picture of you ducking down in the kitchen because you didn't want to be in it. So it's so funny. And I know that you're here because you are able to share your story and your testimony, giving glory to God. So that gives you a boldness. But it is funny seeing you and Summer, my sister, in front of the camera, and then seeing Dad and myself.
I'm not volunteering to go in front of it.
No. So you said as long as I kept it clean that you would.
I'd support it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what a wild ride, right?
I got to experience a world. Remember, I was raised with three brothers, so I was a tom girl. That world that I experienced with you, I had never seen anything like before in my life. I'm like, what? It was like unbelievable. I mean, the makeup, the hair, the positioning, everything had to be perfect. I'm like, this was totally out of my realm. So the borders of my mind got greatly enlarged, and it was really a new experience.
Do you remember that one casting? I'll never forget it, in New York. And I brought you guys along with me. It was when I signed with ID Model Management at the time. And it was for L'Oreal. And it was a pretty big job opportunity if I were to get it. And we went there, talked to the lady, had a conversation. She looked at my portfolio, asked me some questions. And then when we left, I got a call from my agent. And she was not happy, the client at L'Oreal, that I brought you guys with me at 14 years old, that young. I'm sure Dad bragged about me and said whatever, but still at 14, I just don't know what they expect. So it definitely is a different world.
Oh, it is. Yeah, there's a lot of toxicity in that world.
And you're right. Remember the beautiful blonde we met at the photo shoot?
Oh, stunning girl. And she told me, she says, I'm a Christian. She goes, but right now I've opened the door to do things that at one time, it was off limits. I looked at her. Money, allurement, yeah.
And that's not just in modeling. Each one of us face challenges every day. Maybe our desire is to be a CEO or project manager, photographer, and we have to make decisions at our job and count the cost. Is it worth cutting corners, lying, So we all face a decision, even if you're not in the modeling world.
Well, that leads into me.
Never went into modeling, but you have a whole other story of your own.
No, but at one time, I wanted to be very successful in business. I thought that was the path to freedom, security.
Would you say when you were younger that your identity was tied up to what you did and your job title?
I probably didn't think too much about job titles. I just wanted to make money.
So money was your goal.
Yeah. We grew up and money was really tough.
You grew up poor.
Yeah. So I wanted to not necessarily have the big titles, but I wanted to be able to have money to be secure so I don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. And then
I know what that's like.
Lose your house because of medical bills. And I didn't want to do that. So
did you guys ever lose your house?
Well, my dad sold our house because my oldest brother ended up having a medical bill, ruptured appendix. Now, he didn't have to sell it because you can work out payment plans. But for some reason, my dad did not want to pay payment plans. I guess he just wanted to pay it all off. So he chose to sell the house. But everything worked out for our good. It did.
And did your mom work at the time too?
No, my mom did not work. Yeah, she was
a
homemaker.
She was a stay-at-home mother.
Yes, and that's what she wanted to be her whole life.
That's a lot, four kids. It's a high calling.
Oh.
Because there's two things in this world that are eternal. I know you know what they are. The word of God and people's souls.
Yes.
She was precious. I miss them. So I know you worked at Delphi, which is a spinoff of GM. How did coming to Jesus affect working at GM?
That's a great question. Because when I initially started at GM, I was sought after by a couple of the superintendents. I had a good resume as far as like work ethic. However, I got in because Rick knew someone there, so they opened the door for an interview, which was great. I really appreciated that. And then I got hired in materials management. And so I was known as a very hard worker, one that liked to get things done, a go-getter. So that was basically my reputation before I gave my life to the Lord. I was well-respected for that. And then after I gave my life to the Lord, everything changed. It was a male-dominated environment, which I got along in really well with because I was raised with brothers. So when I gave my life to the Lord showed me that he had a different way for me to work, especially with some of the strong-willed men there. So this one gentleman that I work with, he did not like it that I was his scheduler. He wanted to tell me what he wanted to schedule in his department, and yet they were paying me to schedule him. So we knocked horns all the time. So after I gave my life to the Lord, he's one of the first ones I went down and I saw. And I told him, I said, I just want you to know that I have given my life to the Lord now, and I fully intend to work well with you. He's like, huh? He was crusty as anything. So through the weeks and the months.
How long have you been there at that point in time?
Oh, probably, I'd say a good five.
So at this point, he got to see your work ethic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he knew I was a worker. Oh, yes. He's a precious man, but we would bump heads because he wanted to run his area the way he wanted to run it. And I was a scheduler coming into his area and telling him how to run it. We didn't like that.
Was it because you were a female?
There may have been some of that. I'm sure, probably, back in that day. Yeah, which is fine. So anyhow, he even said something really nasty to me. It was vulgar. And this is before I gave him off to the Lord. I went up to my superintendent. I said, he's not talking to me that way. So my superintendent went down, and they had me out, and then he's telling him. So that was the conversation. I was very bold and direct, and I would stand my ground. So that caused us to butt heads a lot. When I gave my life to the Lord, I realized that I needed to be more gracious to him and more considerate that he had been the area manager there for some time, and me just coming in
would be hard.
Yeah, that would be hard. We had a conversation, and I think he was just waiting to see if I was really going to change or not, which I completely understand that. So through the months, I did, and he and I really worked well together. I mean, it was night and day. And when he retired, I went up to him, gave him a hug, and it was like tears. It's really sweet how the Lord transformed that contentious relationship that was every day. But the situation changed because I changed. So I really thank the Lord for that one.
How were you able to be a witness to him?
I told him why I changed. I was able to tell him that I live for Jesus now.
And what was his response?
Well, he just kind of listened to me.
You said he was going to watch you.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely going to watch me. He wanted to see that if what I said was going to be transforming or not. And I praise the Lord that he did see that. When he retired, I can't even put in words. It was really sweet, the time that God gave us together. It was good.
Can you tell me the story about the superintendent who would cuss in the meetings?
Yes. So when I came to know the Lord, the word got out through the entire plant. And this is a big plant, a couple thousand people. And back in that day, it was totally acceptable for people to publicly talk about the Lord. It was fine. So everybody's like, oh my gosh, did you hear Marion's got religion? She's got religion. So it's going through the plant gradually. So it was kind of comical in a way how the word got out. I was in this meeting and we had a daily meeting with the superintendent. And he was a Catholic. And I understand his background and everything. Well, he'd get in this meeting and he'd get upset and he would say JC and GD continuously. Well, it didn't bother me before, but now I would just think it's just cussing. He doesn't say S, D, and H. He says that. So I wasn't really, I don't know, I should have probably been in trouble, but I was okay. That's what he says. But after I gave my life to the Lord, I realized, no, wait a minute. He's cussing my Savior? No. So we're in this meeting and I gave my life to the Lord and now I have this meeting to address. And so he starts up. Now the room is filled with people all around it. And I'm in there as a scheduler and he starts up. Jesus. I said, now I told his name. I said, now I got to make a statement here. He goes, what? I go, now you have freedom and liberty. I want you to know this. I respect it to cuss the Lord. But at the same time, I have freedom and liberty to praise him. So every time you say JC or GD, I'm going to praise the Lord. So that everybody in the meeting is aghast that I'd say this. They're like this.
Well, yeah, he's a superintendent.
What's going on? And I had complete peace from the Lord and complete boldness to be able to say this. And I said it with genuineness, and I really like the superintendent. I try to really serve him well. So he looked at me like this. Oh. So the meeting goes long. He starts it up. I said, praise the Lord.
So you did that while
same
he
meeting.
Was talking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he said it, praise the Lord. So he looks at me like this. The meeting went on. And then he's bad about it. Said it. Praise the Lord. Just gently. Praise the Lord. Put my hand up like this. So I could tell. He's like, man, she means it, doesn't she? So I left the meeting. This goes on day after day. And I noticed that not because out of respect for me or the Lord, but out of irritation, he didn't want to hear it. Less and less, he started saying JC and GD. It was amazing. And what was so cool about it is that the people that were around the table got to see that I wasn't ostracized. I wasn't made fun of. I was respected. I told you before, known as a hard worker, diligent, faithful to get back, great follow-up. So I had a foundation of being a good employee that I could launch this, quote, new character that I have now with Christ. That one there was really amazing to watch that transform.
Remember Bring Your Kid to Work Day? So I went to Delphi with you and I got to see how they interacted with you. And I could tell even when I was younger that they respected you.
Oh, I love the people there.
And you were a hard worker. You're still a hard worker, which a lot of people don't know.
I say that is, if you don't have a reputation of being a hard worker and a team player, nobody's going to listen to your reputation for Christ. If you can't perform in your, quote, physical job here, don't tell me about spiritual things. You're some Christian. So you have to prove it. The proof's in the pudding. So I needed that witness. And then the Lord launched his new life in me. So God had that choreographed perfectly.
You used to do it with Summer and I when we were younger, when you would hear it, if it would be on a TV show, movie, if someone said it, I would hear you say, praise the Lord. Or you would whisper it, possibly if we were with someone. But I heard it so many times that it's never left me, because if I hear it today, I will hear in my mind, praise the Lord.
Oh, wow.
100%.
That's phenomenal.
And sometimes I'll say it, praise the Lord. I've done it while Mike and I have been sitting on the couch, all because of how you taught us and how you trained us not to take the Lord's name in vain, that we're supposed to honor him, respect him, revere him, treasure him. And even in today's society and culture, we use his name in vain and we don't even fully realize what we're saying.
Yes. Just like that superintendent, I don't believe with all my heart that he realized what he was doing. He does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is a churchgoer, but he doesn't actually know him. He had a lot of pressure on him, lots of kids, and that's just out of frustration because a lot of things happen in the plant that, I mean, you think you're doing fine, then all of a sudden you're flying planes. So I didn't look down upon him despairingly or critically.
Oh, I know you did.
I just looked upon him as...
I'm saying for me personally, right. I am not going to use a slang name to describe my Lord and Savior, who is holy, perfect, righteous, blameless, spotless. He's to be revered and to be respected.
I just wanted to make that general statement for anybody listening that I just wanted to make sure that people realize that I love this man.
Isn't it John who said... whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry?
Yes. And I understand if you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, how easy it would be to get in that pattern and say that. And then you don't even think about it. It's just so natural. Just like moving your arm. It just comes out.
You even have Christians saying it, but I think it's because they don't realize truly what they're saying. So if they were to stop and think, what am I saying about the living God? What am I saying about Jesus, the Savior of the world? It takes a minute to get out of habits, change how they speak.
It does.
Because you used to cuss, smoke, drink. You don't do any of those anymore. Forget.
Yeah, because I used to say, I worked in a plant, okay, in materials management. That plant wasn't this docile plant. I mean, S, H, and D were common statements there. I said it. So what happened is...
Modeling, what do you think I heard?
Right. So when the Lord gets a hold of you and his Spirit lives in you, God's desire is for us to be ruled by his divine nature. And it takes time to learn that. It takes time for him to get a hold of us in different areas. And one area he had to get a hold of with me was my tongue. Because I would say S, D, and H. That was part of my vocabulary back then. I didn't say the other stuff, but I said that. The Lord did allow me to be delivered from saying those things. But when I was newly the Lord's, I think I told you guys that I wasn't going to be saying that stuff anymore. So one day we were in the shower and we didn't have the shower curtain closed or whatever. And we had it open. I was getting ready for bath or whatever. And all of a sudden water starts going everywhere. And I said, oh, D. And I think your sister said, oh.
I remember you saying one in your bedroom.
I said, I am so sorry I said that. And I said, Jesus, forgive me. Oh, yeah. So my speech has not always been flawless at all.
My thing wasn't cuss words, but it was not even giving myself time to process what I'm thinking. And I would just say whatever came to my mind, which could also be a sin because I'm being ruled by my feelings and my emotions instead of God's Spirit, because I'm not allowing him to decipher if what I'm saying should be said at all. Sometimes wisdom is being silent, not giving your opinion, not speaking, remaining quiet.
And if you allow the emotion to run its course, what is the end result? If the end result is pleasing, then let it run its course and enjoy it. If the end result of the emotion is not pleasing to the Lord, deny the emotion now before it gets any further.
I like what you said also about being a new Christian and God hadn't tamed your tongue.
Oh, no.
That's why it's important that we don't judge other people in their walk. God may not have them convicted in this specific area yet because they're newly in their walk with him.
That's right.
And we might be on a different path, a little bit farther down. So we don't want to look at someone critically. We can pray for them.
Yes.
But if we see an area... God's still doing a work in them. He's still changing them. He's still molding them, forming them into the image of his son, Jesus.
Yes. And we all start out as babes. Peter says, we start out as newborn babes in Christ. And everybody has a different growth timeline, depending on their willingness with God's Spirit to be able to grow, to be able to mature, because he doesn't want us to remain as newborn babes. And one big thing that helps us grow is, and Peter talks about this, is the nourishment of the bottles of milk, God's truth. So the more truth you get in you and the more you're in his presence, he can help you to grow and mature.
I think of a singer, the Lord hasn't quite tamed the tongue yet with that person.
Sure.
So you have Christians judging them when we should be praying for them because God's doing an unseen work that we cannot see.
Amen.
And eventually we'll be able to see the fruit.
Amen. Amen. Yes, you're exactly right. I'm just thrilled when anybody, I don't care where you're from, where you're at, what your past is, I'm just so thrilled when you have an interest in Jesus and you've decided to follow him. I'm just thrilled with your life. Christ will clean every one of us up. I just praise God that you've began your journey. So you're exactly right.
Rahab, prostitute, in the lineage of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
How amazing.
It's phenomenal.
You know he did that for a point.
Yes.
Can you tell me about the man filled with rage you tried to help?
So there was a man that was really, really crushed when he found out some things that were going on in his home. Let's just say that. He was crushed. And the crushing turned into anger. And the anger turned into rage. So I was going to different parts of the plant because I expedited parts. And I was out on the dock and I saw him. And it was like the Lord said, talk to him. So I talked to him. And I found out some things he was planning to do with his rage. I really felt compelled that the Lord wanted me to check with him each day. So I'd check in, talk to him a little bit, share with him about consequences for decisions. And then one day I even invited him, we were having a revival and I asked him to come. This has been weeks and weeks and weeks probably of just trying to be a friend to him. And he ended up coming, ended up giving his life to the Lord. And the Lord delivered him from a disaster that he had planned in his mind. Now that sounds all good, right? What happens sometimes when you're witnessing, you're doing good?
You get attacked.
The evil one's lurking. So unbeknownst to me, another man on the dock would see me talk to him and he got mad. So he went to the union and said that I was taking this man away from his job. Now, I want you to understand something. At the dock, if there's no trucks to unload, they sit there waiting on trucks to come. I don't know exactly what else he wanted to do, but when the docks were empty.
Well, he didn't want him talking to you.
So that man went to his boss and his boss went to his boss. And then they had a meeting about me and I was invited. So I'm in this room with all these men. Now, here's what's amazing. The men that I'm in this room about, they shared their stories with me. I knew all kinds of stuff on them. I prayed for them. I tried to give them words of truth. These men are in this meeting. I'm looking at them. I know them. I know stuff probably the other people don't know. So I'm sitting here. And before I got in that meeting, I said, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I say? I'm not sorry for sharing with this man. So I felt like the Lord say, so I'm in this meeting and this person's here. My accuser's here sitting across the street for me. Then this one is his boss. Then the next one, my boss is over here. Superintendent's over here. And I'm looking at this man telling me, now, Marianne, you cannot take this man off the dock from working. So I'm listening to him. He goes, you know, you can't do it. I didn't say anything. And then his boss basically says the same thing. All of a sudden, now remember, I was raised with three brothers. I don't easily break down. I mean, I don't. Anyhow, I'm looking at these men. I didn't see these men. I saw the devil working through them to attack me, to try to silence me. So these tears start coming out of my eyes. I'm like, it's unbelievable. So I'm looking at them and I put my head down and they see these tears coming down. He sees it. All these men see it. And then they start saying, now, Marianne, we know that you care about these people. We know you care about us. They start really being encouraging. We know that you had the right attitude towards all this. So they're saying all this stuff. These tears are rolling down my face. I can't control them. That's all I do. Keep my head down like this, and they're coming down. I'm listening to all this stuff. So one by one, these men walk out of the room. One by one. My boss is the last one in there. Because remember, I see the enemy coming, trying to devour the man that I was talking to. And so I'm just like there, and he goes, can you come out now? I go. So he says, okay. So I just walked the table until the tears stopped praying for him. So then I said, Lord, where do we go from here? What do I do? How do I act with these men? What do I say? You know what the Lord said? Nothing. You continue to move on just like you've been doing. So I went out there. Hi. Act like nothing happened. Did the same stuff I'd always do. Nothing else happened. So then months went by and the man that contacted his boss and the union about me, he went out. He was no longer there. And I said, huh, where is that? Thought he got moved to another station. So then, I don't know how many more months passed. That man on the dock ends up calling me on the phone at work. And I pick up the phone. He said, "This is so-and-so." I go, "Yeah. Hi, how you doing?" He goes, "Good." He goes, "I just want you to know something." He goes, "I had a heart attack. I had to leave and I've been on sick leave." I said, "I didn't know that." He goes, "But I want you to know something, Marianne." He goes, "I thought you'd be pleased with this. I got baptized." I said, "You did?" I said, "You're following Jesus?" "Yes." So all that witness that was against me showed that man something that he couldn't touch. And I'm in awe that God used me as his representative in that circumstance to show these precious ones that I didn't have any retaliation, anger, nothing. I just kept working like we do.
That would be hard to do.
Because I love their souls.
That would be hard to leave the meeting and act like nothing happened.
I did. That God gave me the grace. Nothing happened.
That's what I was going to say. God had to give you supernatural divine grace. Because our carnal nature and our feelings would not want to do that.
See, and it was a new thing for me. I was always like go-getter. But with the union, you couldn't like do their job. I had a big shipment that I had to get out. So this guy says, "Well, I got to get it." I said, "Here, I'll help you." So I just helped put these boxes on this pallet. I got written up. Not about this circumstances. And they said, "Well, you can't take union work." I said, "I didn't know this union work." So it was new for me because I wasn't in a union shop before. So there was a lot of new things in that environment that I wasn't used to.
Can you tell me about the guy who you did a funeral for?
Yeah, this was very unusual. I knew this man and his wife. They both worked at the plant. They were both precious. The man ended up having, I believe it was a heart attack, and he went to the hospital. Both of these individuals didn't go to any church. So she knew I was a Christian. So she contacted me and she said, "Will you please go visit my husband?" I go, "Where's he at?" She goes, "He's in ICU. I go, "Oh, okay." Obviously, she had confidence in the God I served because she's asking me to go visit her husband. So I did, and I shared the gospel with him. And I asked him, I said, "Now, would you want to ask Jesus to be your savior? Would you want to receive him?" Now, he's in ICU. He looked at me, says, "No, I'm not ready yet." "Oh, okay, that's fine." So I prayed with him, and then I left. And then she contacted me again later on. I don't know how many weeks passed, but she contacted me again. She's, "Would you please go see him again?" I go, "Yes." So I went to see him again, talked to him. And I reminded him, I said, "Now, we talked last time." I said, "What do you think about Jesus right now being your savior, being your Lord, forgiving you of all your sins?" I said, "Do you think you're ready to receive him?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Okay." So we had a word of prayer. And not too long after that, he died. He passed. So she contacted me and said, "Will you do his funeral?" I go, "Yes." Inside, I'm going, "What? I've never done a funeral." Very interesting. So I had one of my friends sang. Another one of my friends, I asked that. Now, the one friend that sang didn't work there, but the other friend did. And she did something. I forget the funeral. And they had it in this room. People came from the plant to this funeral. And God gave me a message for the funeral. And I spoke the message with his courage, believe me, with his confidence, believe me, with his boldness and his love and his truth. And so I delivered the message. After that, we went to the graveside. And so that was interesting. The Lord gave me words for the graveside. And then after that, I went to her
house. What was interesting about it?
To me, I have to officiate the graveside. This is my first.
Nobody taught you? Did you research it before you did it?
No. Okay. We didn't have AI. I just depended completely on the Lord.
You had Google?
I didn't do it. I didn't Google. No. I just said, "Lord,
what about Jerry Howard?"
All I know is God gave me what to say. It was simple, sweet. Yeah. And so then I got invited back to the house because they had everybody there. And we talked, shared. She tried to pay me for the funeral. I said, "I'm not taking a cent for this funeral. I did it for the Lord." No. So it was interesting. But yeah, I praise God that other people at the plant were able to hear about what Jesus did in this man's life. So that was rich.
Did you get to hear any other stories from people from the plant who gave their life to the Lord?
I don't remember. Nothing has pierced my mind today, right now. It may in the future, but I'm not positive. Like, I don't know if his wife ever gave his life to the Lord or not. I don't know. The plant was big.
It was big.
Yeah. So I didn't get to see these people all the time. And what was going on in their life, you may or may not hear it. So I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that.
the workplace is definitely different from when you were there.
Oh.
So what would your encouragement be to people who want to be a witness, but also don't want to lose their job?
Before I answer that, I want to say one other thing. There was a man that was at the plant that I served under him in materials management, and he was a bully. He was. At a particular meeting, he was trying to put blame on me particularly for an area that I didn't even manage. So he's at the head and I'm at this head, and all these people are sitting around, okay? Now, I was a Christian, and I looked at him, and he says, and you? I looked at him and said, well, now, first of all, so-and-so, that's not my area. I was filling in for my boss. He goes, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not even my boss's area. That's a completely different plant. So I just want people in here to know that, okay? We want to be able to have that fact here. Well, he didn't particularly like that. And then he said something else, and I said, no, this is what actually happened. So I was respectfully disagreeing with him. So I wasn't exactly sure how it was going to be received. Now, he knew I was a Christian. He knew that. So he could either be mad or he could be humble. So we walk out of there, and I'm walking up, and I just said, Lord, please bless him. Help him to see that I wasn't trying to be contentious. I just wanted the facts to be correct with the team. It's a big team in here. So I hear him yelling, Marianne. I go, yeah. So he comes, I wait for him. He comes up. He goes, hey, I just wanted you to know, there's a guy in here that I think you might be able to help. He's struggling. So you mind checking him out, see if you can talk to him? I think you might have some words for him.
Wow.
I said, okay. That was after the meeting. So the Lord definitely gave me incredible favor.
I like the verse, his favor surrounds you like a shield.
Yes. And the people really did, I believe. I really wanted the best for them. I really did. But I wanted truth to be there with the facts. So I'm thankful for that. What would I say? Today's environment and the work experience is completely different than back then. Literally back then, there was an open field to share the gospel. You could pray with people in the aisleway. It was unbelievable, the open door. It was like having an out-of-body experience. It was phenomenal. Now, the work environment today, the world today, actually, it's very anti-Christian in many aspects. Anything goes. Don't say anything to me about what I'm doing because I have every right to do what I want to do because I make my own truth.
Yeah, live your truth is big in our culture.
So number one, the Lord does say, be wise as a serpent and yet innocent as a dove. So pray each day that God will make you wise, wiser than the serpent and innocent like a dove. And then number two, I believe that we should also pray that God would help to protect us from sowing our pearls before swine. If the door is not open, why give out your pearls, your precious truths to somebody who's going to devour them and then use them to turn against you? So you don't want to do that. You want to wait until the Holy Spirit literally is prompting you and giving you the unctionizing speak. Then you can speak.
And sometimes it's not even about sharing Bible verses. They can see if you're honest, on time, a hard worker, respectful.
Yes.
This lady at the gym always sees us. We always wave at her. We have no idea what her name is, who she is. She comes up to Mike the other day at the gym. She goes, can I ask you something? And his mind's going into overdrive because he has no idea what this lady wants to ask him. And she goes, are you guys a Christian? And he goes, yes. She goes, I knew it. The way you interact with people, the joy on your faces. She goes, I just knew it. She goes, I am too. Isn't that amazing?
That's beautiful.
We've never once shared one Bible verse, invited her to church. I mean, he is a pastor. Nothing. Just by the way she sees us and observes us. And we didn't even know she was watching us.
That is so beautiful. And the three things I gave were before you witness. And so yours is A, be all those things and then consider these other ones. Be what, you know, that I mentioned.
That's why I asked you how long you'd been there. You've been there 5 years. They knew you. They knew your work ethic. They respected you. You had a relationship with them. So you were able to speak those truths because of that relationship.
Right. And if I'm off on the five, please forgive me. I'm old. But it's somewhere, just ballpark. Yes. But that's exactly right. There's a proverb that says, what's desired in every man? Kindness. And in this world, when you're kind, people's eyes open up. especially if you're kind to people that are not being kind to you. So you're exactly right. Your mannerisms, your countenance, your disposition, your attitude, that all affects the persona of how they're going to see you. And that has to be laid. That foundation is imperative to be laid correctly, that if the Lord does open a door for you to speak, then, oh, I'll listen to you. What do you got to say?
Even with Top Model going back into the public eye with the two documentaries, people wonder why I'm not angry and bitter. I've processed that anger. I was angry, especially after All Stars. But what do I do with that anger? I got to give it back to God, because unresolved anger can lead to bitterness, and I don't want to become bitter.
Yes.
I don't want to drink that poison thinking that I'm killing the other person. I'm really destroying myself from the inside out.
Yes. And that unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to hardness of heart. And what does that do? Cut off the voice of the Spirit.
Even in Mike's series, he said what anger can lead to.
Yes.
Murder.
Yes.
I mean, way down the road.
That's right.
So you definitely have to be careful. God tells us to guard our hearts.
Yes.
And that was so many years ago. But hopefully I can be a testimony saying, I learned from it. And I want to extend grace and mercy because I know I'm in desperate need of it.
So am I.
So how can I not extend it to the judges, to the creative directors, to the photographers,
yes,
to Tyra Banks? Because I've seen who I am in comparison to Jesus.
Yes.
I'm a wretch.
Yes.
I'm a sinner in desperate need of a Savior.
And then when you look at some of the people, you know what you can say? But by the grace of God, there I'd go. But by the grace of God, there I'd go. It's unfathomable the things that the Lord has delivered us from in his mercy and kindness. And that's my heart's desire, that everybody listening and that we'll listen, that all souls will be brought to Calvary, will be brought to Jesus for an incredible redemptive story. What's redemption? When Christ comes in you and you move out, and he takes over at the wheel, and you do life according to his will and way. And then you can shine for him and have a heart filled with peace and freedom and deliverance.
May we live in such a way where people wonder, what is that about them?
How can they have peace in the chaos?
Mm-hmm.
How can they have kindness when everything's around them being mean and evil toward you? How can you have hope when your plan just got destroyed?
How can they remain quiet and not vengeful when that person did that to them?
Yes, yes.
Our lives preach louder than our words ever could.
Yes, yes.
Because people aren't always listening to what we say. They want to know what we do. Even the devil knows scripture.
Yes, and twist it.
So maybe we live in such a way where we bring glory and honor to Jesus. Not perfection, but with humility and full dependence and surrender to him.
Yes.
Is there anything else you would like to leave the listeners and the viewers on YouTube with?
How about if we just close with prayer?
Okay.
Father, it's a privilege today to be with Shannon and to be able to have viewers now and forthcoming. We pray that all these viewers, Father God, will be blessed exponentially, Lord, with grace upon grace in every area they need. They can be encouraged and strengthened and their faith, and Father God, their knowing of you in Jesus' name. And for all the ones that do not know you, but are thinking about you, Lord, may you draw them ever closer, Lord, that the kindness of your heart would saturate their souls. They'd be melted in your love. And for the ones, God, that are hardened, Lord, that are obstinate, that Father God have no desire to know you right now, we pray that you'd send, Father God, an incredible witness that only you know what is needed for them to come awaken from the darkness, that they might be open to the light of Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Be glorified in the name of Jesus.
I have one more. And Father, as your followers, give us a backbone of steel in a world that's trying to get us to bend the knee. May we only bow before you, our one true King.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget to follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this conversation spoke to you, or if you thought of someone, share it with them. And thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, When life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.